Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to a rainy Monday, the 1st of August. It's very nice to have you with us, as it always is. And it's always nice to have our panel before us as well. We have a lot to talk about, as we always do. And we will get to, we'll get to everything. I was going to say, we have a lot of interesting stories to talk about. So we'll get into that in just a moment. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. And you'll tell us whether they're interesting or not, as you often do. WAMC.org, roundtable@WAMC.org to email us. We welcome to the panel WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, sir.
Hello, hello.
Very nice to have you here, as always.
Nice to be here.
Director of the journalism program at the University at Albany, Rosemary Armeo, is with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Libby Post, political consultant. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you all with us.
Thank you so much.
I hope you all had a great weekend, and it's very nice to talk about what's going on. All right. So I think when we first of all, Alan and I were at Tanglewood on Friday, so thanks to the wonderful folks at Tanglewood.
I was going to say they are great.
Another beautiful broadcast, and we had a great time.
They put out a big bowl of fresh fruit in front of us, and you know, hardly anybody does that.
No, it is. It's
what?
What? Well, I was thanking them for the fresh fruit.
Nice fruit.
Fresh fruit's common, though.
Okay, they had fresh fruit, but they also had these amazing chocolate croissants
from the Haven.
Oh, all right, okay. From now the that, Haven, yeah. That gets a thank you.
And you had a blueberry muffin. Is that what you had?
Shh.
Okay, I'm sorry. Alan didn't have a blueberry muffin.
Do you know how many points that is?
I don't know. These are free. They're amazing. So thanks to them. So as a result of that broadcast, we did not get to talk about the final day of the Democratic National Convention. We didn't get to share their thoughts on the Hillary Clinton speech. So I'd sort of like to begin there and then look at the devolution of what has happened.
Wow.
Since
good word.
And that was fast too.
It was very fast because one of the speakers was on the final night Friday. Thursday night is one of the gentlemen that will be talking about. But let's just go over. Alan, you mentioned this on Friday in our time with Kevin, but you gave Kevin Moran.
Yeah, Kevin Moran, of course.
But you gave high marks to Hillary.
I thought Hillary did as well as she can do. I don't think I. Oh, Rosemary is making. Oh, you are such a boor, Alan.
So condescending.
Well, no, I thought she was well. Look, she did not do as well as Michelle, and she didn't do as well as Obama himself, right?
As Sean Hannity put it, she was like eighth or ninth at her own event.
No, she did. She spoke as Hillary speaks. She is not Bill Clinton. She's not Barack Obama. She has a different way of speaking, and people don't like it because she is so straightforward. And yes, at times, the look on her face, she can look angry, but it's really about being determined. And she is who she is. And for her to make that speech, I thought she did a great job.
Well, I was disappointed. I'm a big Hillary supporter, have been for decades. I was really disappointed. Yes, it was true to her. She was steely and workmanlike. But this was the speech of her life. I wanted her to be better than that.
It had to be inspirational, right?
Yeah,
it did.
I think she has some great lines. I think we're going to see quotes out of them. But I wanted her to be closer to, maybe not Michelle, but...
I don't know. She has the rhetorical ability to do.
Yeah, doesn't
she have months to do it?
You don't learn that though.
Character, said Freud, is built as when you're 4 years old.
I think she has character. That's not the problem. Yeah. She doesn't have performance grace, and yes, that can be learned. Well, one speech she has to give in this campaign, it was that one. I was disappointed.
I wasn't. I get where you're coming from.
I thought it was. I thought I agree with Alan. I think she had a set of things to do, and she did them. And
it came off as a checklist.
No, she was presidential.
Well,
I thought she was incredibly presidential.
But that's true.
The nature of those speeches.
Both. She's up against Donald Trump, who was crazy and dark, and he was like Lord Voldemort. And she comes out and she's like normal and sane. And so, yeah, but what a minimum standard that is.
And incredibly, approximately half the country is ready to vote for him with all that you say that happens to be true.
Well, the polls aren't showing that now.
Well,
she's starting to edge ahead.
Well, by the way, Joe, you're you're the fact checker here. What is
the latest poll? We were just talking about this right before I came on. I'll find this in a second.
Yeah, okay.
But in the before we do that, but then there was a series of I guess some would say, I don't even know what to call them anymore. Are they gaffes by the Trump campaign, or just missteps, or
lasting stupidity?
Right. I mean, let's go back to the Democratic convention for a minute,
yes,
and let's talk about the cons. Let's talk about
the father and mother right, who appeared on the stage at the convention. Right. I mentioned on Friday to Alan that I thought that was one of the most poignant and beautiful speeches that I had heard during the entire two weeks of conventioning.
I think it was one of the most important political moments of the 21st century.
Because
here is a Muslim family with this man shaking, his voice trembling, his wife can't speak because she was gonna cry, you know,
holding up the
Constitution,
yeah,
and saying, "Here, Mr. Trump, take my copy. I know what this says, you don't." I mean, here was this moment in time where all the hatred that has coalesced in this country for no good reason around the Muslim community was really just sort of torn away.
I agree.
And we saw the humanity of this family and the bravery of their son.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, Libby. But the point here is that the Democrats had the wisdom to be able to say, to take this and to turn it around, because that's your whole point, that they, in one fell sweep, for all those people who had, you know, these anti-Muslim sentiments, and that's a lot of the country, they were able to show this, and it was a brilliant thing.
The Democrats redefined the center during this convention. It's just that simple. They redefined the center. They took on the values of the Republican Party in a way that the Republicans have abandoned, and they showed it how it can be inclusive.
So Khazir Khan made this speech at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia on Thursday. Then Donald Trump went after him and said, well, a bunch of things.
He said this is someone you don't attack. You just don't talk about it.
He was viciously attacked by this guy. And why wouldn't he come at him? Because he was viciously attacked. He said that he had sacrificed more than this man had.
By putting up buildings and giving jobs.
Yeah, what a guy.
Creating jobs.
That's what a businessman's supposed to do.
And then playing into a lot of the stereotypes that she didn't say anything because she was ordered not to,
right,
and was not allowed to, and so forth. So then he goes on the Sunday morning talk shows and blasts Trump and writes an editorial in the Washington Post.
The mother wrote the editorial. He said, "I didn't have anything to say. I do." Was amazingly effective,
right.
Just amazingly poignant.
So, do you win in something like? I mean, as you
nope.
say, you don't. You don't go after.
It isn't just Trump, who I have to call stupid here. I know that's a banned word, but it really was a stupid move. Where was this campaign manager saying, "Just back away from this. Back away. You can't win."
Well, Manafort went on
yeah.
to meet the press
yeah.
to defend him.
I know.
It was amazing. It was just astounding. They are so tone deaf. They just don't get what they're saying.
So what is the lasting? We ask this question about every Trump issue, but what is yeah, the lasting
this
effect
This be the
here?
One that finally gets them. I don't know. I thought it would. I thought it might be. But then there's been a couple more, too. I mean, I think it's amazing that he didn't know the difference between Tim Kaine and Tom Keene. I think it's amazing that he didn't know. He's saying on the talk shows that, listen to me, just so you understand, Putin will never go into Ukraine.
Right.
And Stephanopoulos goes, well, he's already there, isn't he? Oh, my gosh, that was great. So the combination of attacking people who ought to be thanked, if not honored, of not knowing basics like who the running mate of his opponent is and what the situation in Crimea might be right now. He is an inept candidate, but was he ever apt?
No.
Was that ever anything he had to be?
No, people just responded to his anger. And you know, thought that that was the right way to go, and because they're angry too, and that's basically the bottom line.
If you people, the two,
you people,
the two Hillary supporters here, really.
I thought you were supporting Hillary.
I'm voting for her.
Okay,
that's for sure. But and I have such respect for Rosemary for raising certain issues. What you're pointing at yourself,
but not for me.
Well, not in this case. So Rosemary has made the point that the speech left something to be desired. And
it was dull.
Yeah, and I agreed with that. But I'm concerned that people who are for Hillary don't understand how dangerous the Trump phenomena can be and tend to be dismissive. He can't win. He can't do it. But I think that we don't have the slightest idea why close to half the country is still saying that they're going to vote for him.
No one is dismissing that. I, more than anyone, feel that he could win. And that he's a danger to the country. I'm hoping that all of us who believe in Hillary work incredibly hard to make sure she gets elected. It will come down to the Electoral College. It will come down to Pennsylvania, Ohio,
and Florida.
And Florida. It will come down to those.
Pennsylvania and Florida, Hillary's doing pretty well right now.
Yes, and I think she'll end up doing well in Ohio. But, you know, but we all have to work incredibly hard to make sure that that happens.
Which reminds me, I'm just bringing this up. It may be a little bit of a deviation, but are you all getting the same mail I am from Obama, from Michelle Obama, and they all say, I'm terribly disappointed in you, Alan, because my husband asked you for money and I didn't give it, and so-and-so asked you for money and you didn't give it, and so-and-so asked you. I'm offended by it.
I'm not getting that email because for the first time in my life ever, I have given money this
year.
Yeah,
well, that doesn't really matter. I give money. We give money every month. We still get the emails.
Yeah.
But
that's the first rule in fundraising. You pick the people most likely to give you money, and those would be people who have already given you money.
Yes.
And you just keep going after them. So don't be offended. It isn't personal, right, Alan.
Well, no, I'm offended by the tone because I think not only does it turn me off, but it will turn other people off also.
Well, you know,
in other words, shaking a finger at people is not a good way to get money.
I don't know if you're shaking a finger.
But I'm getting the same thing from the Trump campaign.
I am too.
I get the same thing.
I don't know why I'm not on their list.
I can't imagine. Neither am I.
I'm getting Trump stuff. I laugh at it.
Weirdly, if you if at any time have applied for media credentials, you were immediately on the list for everybody.
Well,
so,
sense.
But anyway, so the latest poll, CBS News poll, shows Hillary Clinton up by 7 points, 46% to 39%, with Trump dropped 3 points, and it's a margin of error of 3 points.
What poll is this?
The CBS News.
The New York Times, which, as I've said repeatedly, does an amalgam of all the polls, came out today, and it's 70-30 chance for Hillary to win. That's not saying 70% of people are going to vote for her.
Right.
It means she has a 70% chance of winning, according to all the polls.
But Nate Silver had it much closer.
Yeah. But Rosemary, the first day we said it, she was way out ahead. The second day...
When was she way out ahead?
No, I'm sorry.
She hasn't been way out ahead
time. But she was ahead. And then the next day, remember the chances. We're talking about the chances now.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances were very good on her side. The next day, the same New York Times pulled way back.
Right, and that was probably the bounce.
I don't think that... Okay.
You don't think what?
I'm not sure that I remember Rosemary saying that, and I looked that up, and it wasn't that dramatic. Like, it's been bouncing back by 1 or 2 points for quite a while.
And they update it every day. So every time
there's
a new poll, you're going to see some variation.
Yeah.
And then the conventions, throw everything askew because you get the big bounce, which can be as much as 10 points.
Now, historically, once the bounces are over from the two conventions, things stay somewhat steady. In other words, they stay level.
The assistant director of the Quinnipiac poll said there's no real measure of whether a bounce from the convention sticks.
Yeah.
It sometimes does, and sometimes there's no pattern, in other words.
You pronounce it Quinnipiac? I've always pronounced it Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a print person. I don't know how to pronounce anything.
So, in that time, I was looking. So, right now, as of today, to Rosemary's point, is 70-30. And looking at the numbers over the last, 4 or 5 days, we saw a bit of a bump after the Republican convention for Trump, and then a a fairly good bump for Clinton after the Democratic convention, but 70-30. So that is, again, I think we used this line the other day, but they put it at the same chance of losing is greater than the probability of an NBA player missing a free throw.
Yeah. I hate that they use sports analogies. I have no idea what that is. Is that good or bad?
I think it's dumb.
Well, I thought you said, I thought it was, I thought what you said last week was good. Is what it shows that, you know, that the chances are that you'll make it.
It can happen, but.
But there's always that one chance that something is going to happen and your arm is going to twitch or your hand is going to twitch or the ball is going to go and then off it goes. Right. So there you go.
Well, the real question is it rigged? In other words, is the ball fully inflated?
That is always the
question. That's a different sport, as I recall.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is. But okay, so let's take a letter or two and then we'll go to our break.
Okay. And John says, why Trump can still win? Trump's latest gaffes don't matter because there's a large enough proportion in this country that is now fascist. And I'm not name-calling here. I know European history. I'm serious. I'm scared, says John. I think you have every right to be
scared. The Atlantic magazine, did any of you see that this remarkable article where they went out and talked to true Trump supporters?
Yes.
And they did sort of an amalgam. It wasn't one person, but they put it all together, a speech on why they still supported Trump despite all of the mistakes and confrontations. And basically it's that every time he does that, he annoys us, the elites, and he annoys the leaders, and they like it. They're cheering him. It's terrifying.
Brucey said, I like Rosemary, but I think she's dead wrong about Hillary's speech, in particular her performance. She pulled the performance off well enough, and the content was good. I specifically disagree that her performance could have been improved much more. She's not an easy speaker. Well, I think that's what you were saying,
it
Rosemary.
It is, but I mean, for the convention speech, she knew 4 years ago. She knew in 2008 that she was going to probably be giving a convention speech. You work with a coach. You work with writers. It could have been better. Sorry.
Thank you, Rosemary. I appreciate that. I didn't read the whole letter because, you know, enough is enough. Ethan says, I am not a fan of Donald Trump. However, Donald Trump was attacked first by his family. Hillary always attacks first. And then...
We have to... You figure that out. We're going to take a break, and when we're back, we'll start with that letter. We'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Roundtable Panel. Alan is here, Rosemary and Libby, and we'll be back after this BBC News. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion for this first day of August 2016. When we last left you, Alan was starting a letter from Lisa, and we will continue with that letter and go to some more before we go on to other subjects.
Well, the letter itself, the first paragraph, made us all a little question it. However, Donald Trump was attacked first by this family. We didn't know what that meant. Hillary always attacks first, and then the news media dismisses this and focuses on Donald Trump's responses. Hillary Clinton has engaged in fear-mongering since Donald Trump was named the presumptive Republican nominee. If she wins, it's only because Trump is the Republican nominee. What was found in the hacking of the DCCC was money laundering by the Democrats found, and that's from Lisa. We always like to read, as Rosemary points out, letters from the
Trump
people.
Yeah, that give him. Well, it is true. I don't think it's fear-mongering, though. We continue to see people pointing out that a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for a lunatic.
Right.
Sarah Vowell has a very interesting article about she likes Hillary, would have voted for her probably just because she's a woman, but right now she's more concerned with the fact that she appears to be sane. So that's a theme. You heard it in the former mayor of New York City gave a speech at the convention, too. The mental health, Hillary calls it the temperament of Donald Trump, is certainly an issue in this campaign.
So let us talk for a moment about the exchange between George Stephanopoulos and Donald Trump yesterday on this week in regards to the Ukraine, in regards to Crimea. Some people, I saw this in the Washington Post, I saw it in the Los Angeles Times of Donald Trump's Palin moment, it was called. And I don't know. Which I disagree with on two fronts. One, because I think that...
She knew more.
Well, it seems like he has a lot of them, and I don't know. I mean, there's many moments that you can point to.
Well, so did she. But why was he not stopped on his first one? We're already past that.
Right.
I recall, you know why? Gerald, yeah, I do, but I recall Gerald Ford. Do you remember in the debate when he said there is no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe, and all of us went, what?
Right.
And that was it. He was hounded for that, and he lost, I think, in part because of that. And yet Donald Trump made an incredibly uninformed, dare I say, stupid assertion.
I think he lost because he pardoned Nixon.
Right.
Well, that's right.
That's why he lost.
Right. Okay,
but the thing is, the people who want Donald Trump are people who want a strong man in government. They want a strong man government. They want somebody to tell them what to do. I mean, I've always been saying that these people, the radical right, all these folks, they don't want to think. They just want somebody strong to tell them what to do. So if he says, oh, if he made a mistake about that or he made a mistake about this, that's okay. It doesn't really matter.
Apparently.
Because I want him as my president, because I want a strong guy who's going to beat somebody up, because he said after the speeches in the convention, Trump said, I want to go beat these people up.
I want to hit them.
And he regularly says hit
to mean attack verbally.
We don't have to overdo Trump. No, but he said he wanted to make their head spin. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is they want somebody like that.
Again, verbal attack to make their head spin.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well, it may have more than one implication.
Right.
If you say hit or beat up, whatever it is. Rosemary, you're absolutely right. It probably could be defended as saying that.
Sure.
But I took it Rosemary's way.
I didn't. I think that this man.
I don't think we have to exaggerate the threat of Donald Trump. Let's take him at the best way you can interpret him, and he's still bad.
Rosemary, when he chooses words like this, these are nuanced words. They know exactly what they're saying.
I don't agree. I don't think he thinks at all. I think he's sort of like me in a way. He talks and then goes, "Wait, what did I just say?" And I think that's what happens to him a lot.
He
gets forgiven by a lot of his supporters for that because
because
let us go on to him. Did he not prove his uniqueness again?
Uniqueness?
Yes.
You mean the quality of being a eunuch.
Oh,
Paul Ryan comes out and apologizes again for, I'm really sorry, these people are heroes. You know, you don't treat gold families like this, gold star families like this. It was horrible. I'm still for him.
Yeah.
Eunuch!
Right. Well,
okay.
You mean unique.
No, eunuch, as in somebody's cut them off.
Okay.
I got it. Okay, what do you want?
I want to, so then on the front page of the New York Post.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
All right. And oh, I don't boy. Know. Is this fair? I don't
oh,
know.
Love
is
it.
This fair?
What do you mean, is this fair?
Okay.
First Lady of the United States, is this fair?
So Melania.
Potential First Lady.
We all knew that she was a model, right? We knew that was in her resume. She mentioned that. And so now there have been, it started, two or three days ago with just nude pictures. And now there are
more suggestive pictures
with other
Whips.
Women.
Well,
it's lesbianism.
It's what you guys
crazy.
Love.
I mean, it is.
You
She's
know,
a
the
model.
Girl on girl action is something that men.
I don't know what. So I don't.
Sorry,
know your
I don't
position
want her
on
to.
This.
I do not they want do. Her to be first lady. But this is ridiculous. She is a model. She is a beautiful woman. She wanted to make money with her body. That's what we do. It's
okay,
Kim Kardashian is a hero for it. No big deal.
And Vanessa Williams lost her crown.
Same thing. That was
okay.
ridiculous, too.
So that was wrong.
Yes, it
okay,
was.
And she's. I'd rather have her be first lady than Melania Trump.
Well, what I don't understand, is the evangelicals
who have not yet changed their minds. That's right.
Even though these incredible pictures.
Alan's eyes are bugging out.
Well, not at all. I mean,
he has the newspaper right by him.
Right.
Not at all.
Yes. Yeah.
I resent that.
Yeah, you resemble that remark. But anyway.
Roselle, watch him.
Right. The fact of the matter is that the radical Christian right. Right, these evangelicals got all upset because Michelle was sleeveless in a dress.
Yes,
and then they're not like having a heart attack about this. They are morally.
She's
bankrupt.
Being whipped in one of these.
Yes, she is. She well, almost.
And she looks fetching while she is.
She's being disciplined, and
and I heard
I don't
his.
Get it.
In Donald Trump's defense of the pictures, he said, "Look, before I knew her, she was
3 years before."
She was a model, and she was, as Rosemary indicated, was
no. She was it was art. She said he said it was art.
It was art.
Porn. This is softcore porn. That's what this is.
I am far more worried by the fact that we don't see Donald's tax returns than I am that we do see his wife.
Maybe this is distracting on purpose. You think?
I'm wondering. I'm
wondering. But isn't it all a distraction? I mean, all we do is get letters about how we only talk about Trump. Isn't the whole thing a distraction?
It's a show. Let's talk about voter rights.
Yes. Well, we can do that. Why don't we get a letter or two, we'll go to a break, and then we'll go into that subject.
Get a letter or two. All right. We're going to do that right now. Okay. Rosemary stated Ryan is a eunuch. Alan said he was unique. I wish he was. It was a joke. J-O-K-E. All right. I wish he was unique. I wish he was the only one who supports the idiot through all the gaffes. But he's not. And that's the problem. True. Lots of voters do the same thing. I am not supporting Paul Ryan.
McConnell did it. Even Mike Pence came out and gave a statement supporting the family that had been attacked.
Well, this went against
his own guy.
I have to say that Khan has been doing more about the abdication of responsibility on the establishment of the Republican Party than he has on Donald Trump, which I think is very, very important and well, quite honestly, understandable.
That's a really good point. You're right. He's saying he called on the Republican Party to renounce him as a candidate because of his cruelty. That's a really good point.
Per Rosemary's comment about listening to what is said, quote, my comment, people in the Trump camp do not listen. They simply react. And Karina says, I hate Trump, but criticizing Melania, I'm so sorry, for nude pictures is low. When they go low, we go high, right? Her body is her choice.
Yep.
Well, I think there is a certain amount of hypocrisy, as I said, from the right wing evangelicals, because, you know, as you said,
Libby. If this was Michelle Obama,
she went sleeveless. Right. That's horrible. Right.
This
is all right.
Has this gotten beyond a New York Post story?
Oh, well, I'm sure it will by the end of the day.
Well, it's on WAMC, and I understand.
I'm sure you're going to find that there may be hundreds of thousands.
It's already on Facebook, so it's gone beyond.
Right.
But, you know, just so you know, we were talking a little bit about whether he's lost his mind. There's a piece on Salon.com by Sophia McLennan that talks about that specifically, about how his ramblings, how his non sequiturs, his inability to make sense could very well be either mental health issues or, you know, early Alzheimer's or something to that effect.
Well, I mean, his biographer, the co-writer of his autobiography, said he had absolutely no ability to concentrate on anything, not related, you know, specifically to his own advancement.
But
and
I have
couldn't
good,
read a book.
I have good concentration.
That's what he said.
Roundtable,
would there be any difference between Melania using her assets in fashion or modeling and Hillary using her assets to speak in front of Wall Street firm gatherings? What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Hillary was on the lecture circuit. The speeches to Wall Street were, A small part of what she did, and B, Wall Street and Washington do work together. It wasn't as bad as it's been painted by the Republicans. I'm sorry. Your whole spiel about judgment, blah, blah, blah.
I'm even sorrier than you are. And I have to say, it was a mistake on her part. She knew she was going to run for president of the United States, and she put herself out there with the very thing that were concerning most people in this country. It was dumb. That's all I got to say. And greedy.
It was not concerning most people at the time until it became an issue at the hands of the Republicans.
She should have seen it coming.
But you like her being workmanlike and policy wonk, which is not visionary.
It's
crazy.
Well, okay. What can I say? Trump. Trump can be summed up in four words: unfit, unstable, unhinged, un-American. That's from Cynthia in Niskayuna.
I like that.
Of course you do. And Brian says, do you think this is the last straw that so many continue to predict his Russian comment, but more the so-called gold star parents comment?
Well, I mean, we thought that when he called the judge of Mexican descent, you know, unfit.
When he called Mexicans rapists.
When
he came out a year ago and said that I can walk into Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody in the face and we'll still get a high poll number.
It's like a collection of the greatest, monstrosities of Donald Trump.
Okay. And Renee says, hello, Roundtable. I truly don't understand the overzealous parsing of Clinton's delivery style. Isn't the intelligence factor more important than how she speaks? Actually, I like the way she speaks. Determined, strong, and miracle of miracles, understandable. Can someone explain to me what is missing? And that's from Renee.
Well, it has to do with performance and oratory. If you listen to the president the night before, Obama gave an amazing, inspiring speech that will be remembered in the way that Mario Cuomo's in 1984. Mm-hmm. I had to go listen to that the other day because I don't remember it. And it's recalled. Hillary's won't be like that.
Okay, I understand that. But if you...
You kind of wanted in
well,
a leader.
Yeah, but Mario Cuomo did not become president.
But he didn't run. He could have.
But you have both you have both Bill Clinton and Barack Obama giving speeches. They're very effective. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden giving a speech, very
Michelle
effective.
Obama.
Michelle Obama giving a speech, very effective. And many other
Mayor
speeches
Bloomberg.
That were very effective. However, with that said, when you compare it, though, to the president, the two people who are running for president of the United States, you have Hillary Clinton delivering a speech last week. You have Donald Trump delivering a speech the week before. And if you compare those two speeches... Then what do you come out
all
with?
All right. When I listened to Donald Trump, I sat there saying, oh, my God, I hate every word coming out of his mouth. And that is effective as anything I've seen him ever do. He gave for the audience it was aimed at and the message he delivered an amazingly effective, dramatic speech. Hillary did not. She had balloons coming out. She had the president hugging her. Yeah, my sister said, is that where all our donations are going? But, you know, the president hugging her. She had this great setup. And even in the content, okay, I teach writing. I'm sorry, I have to do this. The second part of her speech was better than the first. That's called burying the lead.
Hmm.
She was really nervous at first. She got better as it went on. I'm sorry, that is practice. She did not give a good performance. I can say that and still say vote for her for president, but I'm not going to say it was wonderful.
Sure.
It wasn't.
Rosemary, you have consistently asked Alan to change his performance, and it hasn't worked. How can you expect the same of Hillary? And that's from Mary.
That's very funny.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go to other stories as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion. We just have about 7 or 8 minutes left. There is an article I sent around last night, and obviously, I think we talked about this last week, but obviously this is sort of the next thing we'll be focusing on as far as big events. Rosemary was talking about the convention, the biggest speech, and so forth. But obviously, the debates are going to play a large role. And
if we have them.
So now there are, and we alluded to this last week, there's the debate over the debates. And so there was this interesting thing where the Republicans got very upset, blaming the Clinton campaign for rigging the system, a term we will, I'm no doubt, hear a lot more over the over the next 99 days, which is about...
Bernie versus Hillary. In other words, they were saying she didn't want to debate. She did not want to debate Bernie because it would have given him a presence.
Well, so no, this is in the debate schedule where they
no,
were...
No, I know, but
right,
I'm also...
It does date back, you're right.
Yes, it does. They obviously didn't want to talk to Bernie.
Right.
And they did what was politically expedient for them. They put it in spots where it wasn't going to work. Now, however, I'm sure they want the other way around.
Well,
now they want maximum exposure.
But they also... So the complaints from the Trump campaign come that two of the debates take place that were scheduled by the Bipartisan Commission on Debates, who came up with the schedule over a year ago before the candidates were even announced, which is what they're wont to do. And they conflict with NFL games, which they have in the past.
Right.
Donald Trump said that he has written a vicious letter to the NFL saying...
He said he got a call from the
NFL,
actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I apologize.
And the NFL came back and said, no, we didn't.
Right.
So...
I'm confused.
He made another one of his lying statements.
Right.
He
said
the
NFL
called me upset that they were that the debates would conflict with games. And then an NFL official came out and said, well, we'd prefer that you not have them on game day, but no, we never wrote to you, Donald.
Hmm. So... The question
another lie.
And the
it
other
looked like
thing,
he was squirming out of he doesn't
right.
want to do
well,
the
that's
debates.
Right. That's really what
that's
what
about.
It's getting to the point where it seems as though this may be an issue. Although, and I don't know how much this matters, but you know, fact and
Now, in a debate,
yes.
Hillary Clinton style, not so good in a speech, is killer. She knows everything.
That's right.
She will be steely and determined. And the answer to every question could be, can I see your tax return? Can I see your tax return? She will slay him. And he knows that. So I do think it's possible that he wants to wiggle out of the debate. But Hillary can't lose in this one. She can change the dates of the debate. She can hold more or fewer. They're going to be widely watched. And she will prevail.
He has no control over the issues. He has no concept of what the issues are or the facts or to be able, I mean, he thinks that Putin didn't go into Ukraine yet. Yeah. So, I mean, he has laid himself bare for...
And no pension for studying him either.
Right,
like
right.
Performance,
no, because he can't pay attention that long.
There you go.
So there you go. That's it. You know, I don't think he wants to debate her.
I'm not going to, you're not going to force me to be a defender of Trump. I just want to continue to remind you guys that Trump is widely popular among a certain segment of the American populace. And when he says something that's outrageous and crazy, people cheer. They did that with certain miscreants in the past, believe me, around the 1930s, and they are doing it now. So he can't. Somebody just wrote a note and saying, "Alan, you're wrong. The reason that Hillary is the reason that people take him very seriously is they're all working for Hillary." Okay, fair enough. In other words,
there is truth to the fact that the debates, which I believe Hillary cannot lose, what role do they play in deciding who people will vote? I mean,
I think she'll
be preaching to the choir.
It doesn't have to be half the country. It happens. It needs to be 5%. And when 5% hear that a guy doesn't know about the Ukraine and doesn't know about...
But they don't know about the Ukraine either.
No, well, they know enough to know that he didn't know. That's where good journalism comes in, it seems to me, by pointing that out. Hey, George Bush walked up to didn't know how much a bottle of milk cost. Remember
Wait
that?
A minute. Yeah. Alan, look at what has stopped people in debates before. Odd appearance. Nixon had a beard, Donald Trump.
But not
has
the
appearance stopped when the man's orange and has this weirdo hair? That has not stopped. Huge mistakes. The gaffe that I referred to that right. Gerald Ford made. He has made dozens of those in the course of it has not stopped him. What could happen in the debate? You may be right. What could he say or not say or do that would possibly make a difference?
Was it George W. Bush who looked at his watch? Remember
yes.
that was a big
yeah,
deal?
Yeah, when Bill Clinton was talking to him, he was totally into it.
Yeah.
It was George Bush who sat there, didn't like this at all. It goes like this in his watch. It's just
it
devastating.
Was stupid.
Devastating.
You know, so, but
what
right.
could Trump do that he has not already done
well, let's
and
assume,
not been knocked
let's
out?
Assume he calls her Crazy Hillary. Or
crooked
Hillary.
Crooked Hillary.
He's
or crooked
it.
Hillary. Does that hurt him?
No, on the debate stage, though.
Yeah.
Remember Rick Lazio
yes.
made
right.
the
well,
fatal
sure.
mistake of walking into her territory.
Yeah.
You must treat a woman with kid gloves if you're a man. We saw that with Sarah Palin, lunatic. And how did Biden treat her? Amazing.
With respect.
He was total respect
yes.
as if she were like a real politician.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump has already treated Hillary like crooked, jailer. We've already seen
Hanger.
Horrendous behavior. So I don't know what he could do that would possibly make a difference.
Well, you'll find out.
I don't think any... Honestly, the people who are going to vote for him are going to vote for him.
No,
but
I don't think you're right.
I
don't think you're right.
Do
I
you think I'm right about anything these
no,
days?
No, not really.
yeah.
But there are people in the middle, Libby, who are convincible. And that's important. You're right. In one way, and that is those who are committed to him are committed to him in large part. But there are still middle-range
yes.
voters who can be changed.
Thank you for making my point, Alan. If I had been allowed to continue, that's what I was going to be saying, is that the people who believe in him no matter what, but there are undecided still.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary speaks to them. And his racism and his attack of a Gold Star family, okay, says to them, this man does not have the temperament to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a movable middle still
so,
in
so
this country.
So if it's 3% or 4% or 5%, that's enough. That's what wins elections.
That's right.
All right, we're out of time. I want to thank everybody who wrote in, and thank you for joining us this morning. We will be back tomorrow with more discussion on this and much more, and we'll get to other issues as well. Alan and Rosemary and Libby, thank you very much.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
no, that, thank you.
We'll be back with more Roundtable. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.